there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show number, what, 73?
It is.
And this is March 29th, the year 2004. Good to have you along. And we're recording right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Well, and besides talking about all those things, we're going to be talking about cooking today, in fact, also. And what a deal, huh?
Dale Campbell's
yeah.
Of all people, Don Patterson's not in the house
Fantastic.
Today.
Marvelous.
Marvelous.
All right.
He took the day off. But I'll tell you what, somebody who never takes the day off.
Don't get a grip.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is the creator of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, the producer, Phil Parr.
Phil Parr, if you live in Trinity County.
Exactly.
Patterson is putting down grass and trying to get his home straightened out out there. We were out there Saturday night. And they've got a nice place out there, you know.
Yes, they do.
They do indeed.
Out in the country, it's quiet.
It's beautiful.
It is. It really is. We sat on the patio and we had a few drinks, a little spaghetti, and talked about how fast them trucks will go. You know, as guys will do.
That country living, man.
Country living, right there in the city. He's a little further out than I think I'd like to be, but
a little ways out there.
Yeah,
mosquitoes out there. Did you see any mosquitoes?
It's a little early for mosquitoes yet.
The big helicopters are out now. They're not harmful.
I have not had mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes don't start until about the middle of May, and boy, if there's one around, it finds me.
They'll be along.
They'll be along for long. Anyway, it's a beautiful day in the Piney Woods. We had a little rain last night, but it's pretty today. It's nice, sunshiny, April day, almost April day.
Great spring day, man.
A beautiful spring day. And what else is going on in anybody's life? Tom hadn't got his van yet with his lift on it, but it's on the way.
But it's on the way.
On the way, and we'll have the big celebration when really, really big celebration.
Well, we'll take it across the river, won't it?
Take it across the river.
Got to take it for a river run.
The initial voyage across the river.
Yeah, the initial voyage. Our county's dry, and we have to go across the river to get libation, so that's what we end up doing. So we'll have to take the van across
What do we get over there now?
Libations.
Oh, okay. All right.
You never heard that word?
It's good stuff. I know that.
Libation. You don't remember Shout and Glow?
I do indeed.
Shout and Glow. Glory, they're legend in the Alabama hills, famous for moonshine and the quantities distilled. I can't remember. Anyway.
Well, we're an educational show.
We're an educational
show. Yeah.
Libations. That's a good word. Everybody, you learn something here every day. You think we're an educational show?
I know we are.
I wouldn't go that far.
I know we are.
That might be stretching it a bit. Huh?
Educate us with a little educating email.
Okay, here's somebody named Darla, and she has a heat pump or an AC furnace combo with a two-position that turns the fan on and off.
Uh-huh.
And a four-position switch whose functions aren't clear to her. She says, I think it was to the extreme left when I had the heat on. I'm wondering how many positions to the right I have to move the switch to get the AC. Now, on the top, it has the sliding control to adjust the temperature. And this is Darla in warm, steamy Florida.
Well, there'd be no way to know. I mean, without looking at it, there'd be...
If it's a heat pump, though, probably two of the positions, though, have got to be because the heat pump has the emergency heat, which is basically a set of heat strips that just come on when it gets too cold for the heat pump to function,
okay.
The compressor part of it. So the heat and then the emergency heat would be two of the positions.
That would be my guess, is that the two, if the far left one is heat, then the next one would also be heat, and the next two would be cool, and far to the right being maximum cool.
Or off.
Or
something. So.
Well, I hadn't thought of off.
Was it off in between that, or?
Is there an off? Without looking, there'd be
no way of knowing.
Way to know. Surely, Darla, have you got somebody sighted that comes around and
break out that opticon.
Yeah, get out the opticon.
That was in a list discussion here a while back.
You need somebody to read that to you there's a jillion different kinds of thermostats, and I don't know much about heat pumps, but in Florida, You wouldn't need much heat, I wouldn't think.
You would think the compressor, without using the heat strips, would do most of the time in that part of the world.
I would think air conditioning in there. I'd figure it out by doing this. You know which way to push the slide control on top to make it hot. I'd push it all the way the other way, start moving the switch, and listen for the air outside compressor to come on. The heat pumps. Listen to that compressor to come on, and then you would have figured that out.
And that's a good thought, because when the emergency or the heat strips come on when it's too cold for the heat pump to function, then the compressor won't be. I think it cuts back and turns off.
So you'll know that it's not running. But normally during the winter, the heat pump, the compressor runs.
It runs.
See, I don't know much about it. I don't know how heat pumps work. We need to.
We had one of those when we moved up here in the Avondale house.
Had a heat pump?
It sure did.
I'll be darned.
Big round heat pump, man.
So, Gordon could probably, maybe when he comes down.
Yeah, maybe we could do a show and talk about the heat pump.
And we can talk about, because I don't understand them. I know they're more expensive, but they're supposed to be more efficient, aren't they?
Oh, they're definitely, definitely more energy efficient.
They're supposed to be more energy efficient. Darla's in Florida. I'd get somebody sighted to look at that, but that'd be an easy way to find out. Just push the thing all the way to the control all the way the other way and flip it and see when the compressor comes on. You'll know. That's cool.
Process.
You know, sighted switches and thermostats and all that are for sighted people to say, oh, gosh darn, it's 72 in the house now. Well, it may not. Wow. They're for sighted people to read. I don't pay much attention to them. I just kind of set mine where
it feels comfortable.
I put me a line, a little braille dot line with my label maker on my thermostat. I've got it on both of them. And that I kind of go by that. I mean, I keep it kind of on that and maybe below or above that so I don't get too far off.
Yeah.
But thermostats are for sighted people to look at and say, oh, that's the temperature now. Well, it may or may not be the temperature now. That may be what the thermostat says, which may or may not be right. You don't have any idea. So I wouldn't worry about it. But anyway, good luck and let us know how you come out.
All right. Ron says, I thought the group might be interested in my latest problem. The rug outside the tub shower was getting wet.
Uh-huh.
I had installed a new 5-piece enclosure with sliding glass doors about 3 years ago.
Okay.
I recently dug out the conch at the corner where the door track meets the wall and tub, installed new conch, still had water. Last week, my wife tore the shower head off when trying to adjust it. The chrome-plated pipe broke off in the threaded copper fitting inside the wall. I replaced that with metal chrome-plated pipe. Surprise, doesn't seem to be any water now. Evidently, that plastic had been cracked for a long time.
Yep.
And it had been leaking inside the wall and then under the tub to the floor and up to the rug. I just love plumbing. Ron.
that's a dangerous thing because that could rot some stuff in there and you could have some...
Oh, yeah. Big
but
damage.
But the whole thing snapped off. Boy, that's scary.
Yeah.
If you don't have an access door in the back to get in, you know, don't have any...
Yeah.
Anyway, remember that shower on Norris Street, Tom?
Oh, yes.
That darn thing. Of course, we finally put a door there, and we finally called a plumber and got him to actually... Remember, we fixed it with a piece of rubber one time, and the rubber melted. And by God, there was water everywhere. You know, why we didn't just go get some PVC pipe, glue that all together, and fix it, I have no idea. We were a little less handymen back then, weren't we?
Exactly.
We didn't know nearly as much about handyman stuff as we... Not that we know anything now, but... Well, Ron, good. I'm glad you fixed that. That could be dangerous because you could rot wallboard and
no telling how long it had been leaking.
That's right. No telling.
Okay, here's a guy named Tom. He says he asked a technician who had a lot of home appliance experience about venting gas dryers. He thought that the fumes of combustion may well be taken out with the hot air somehow. Another reason not to vent them into the room. Haven't seen the dryer with the hanging cupboard over the drum. But I bet they don't actually run the hot air from the drum into that space. It's so full of water and lint, it'd ruin your nice drip-dry hang-ups. Probably just convected heat gets up there. We bought a nice new Sears stack washer and dryer last autumn, and Sears installed a rather large, maybe 6-inch diameter aluminum vent tube, replacing the cheapy plastic stuff we've had for years.
Uh-huh.
Very nice machines, he says, and this is from Tom Fowle. F-O-W.
Now, that's the guy that we had on the show not long ago.
He was on the show.
Smith Kettlewell out in California. I've never had a gas dryer. So, we're at something I don't know anything about. Gas dryer, but looked like you'd have to vent it the same as you would a water heater.
Seems like it.
You'd have to have some sort of vent going out the ceiling to take that, to let those gas fumes out. And also, it has to have air of some sort. You wouldn't want to, I guess there'd be two different vents. There'd be a lint vent, like the electric dryer has.
Yeah, for the air.
So. And then there'd be a gas vent to vent the burner, just like your heater. You'd want a fresh air vent. I would think, but I've never had a gas dryer. I've always had electric. Have you ever had a gas dryer, Sean?
No, never have.
No, never.
So
I don't know that they do. Do they? I mean, I don't know anybody that has one.
I don't either. I can't say that I know of anyone that's got a gas dryer.
Maybe
in this part of the
another place
country.
Would it be one of these deals, a dryer where you would have to light the pilot light like you would?
Well, yeah. There'd have to be a pilot light.
Yeah, I guess it may have electronic ignition.
I'm sure it would have.
Stove nowadays. But yeah, back in the old days, you had to light a pilot light, I guess.
Somebody had to light the pilot light. There was a pilot light there. And you'd have to, now it would have electronic ignition, probably when the dryer comes on, it has a little spark that does it, the dryer won't operate unless the thing lights, like my heater upstairs. The fan won't come on if it doesn't get so hot. Probably the dryer's probably the same way.
If you had a gas connection to your house, it seems like it'd be a good, would be the way to go, but I just don't know. I'm like you.
Well, there's gas right there, because my hot water heater's right there by my washer and dryer. It'd be easy for me to have a gas dryer.
You would be a good candidate for one then.
It would be less expensive, wouldn't it? You would think it would.
Would it be less expensive?
I don't know.
Well, I've got to have, I'm about ready to buy a new dryer. My dryer's got two problems. Sometimes it doesn't heat, and the timer, they can't seem to figure out what the deal with. They put a new timer on it, and that didn't solve the problem of all the crazy things.
Yeah. Look to a gas dryer, then. Just
might be something to think about. Where would you buy a gas dryer?
Oh, you see here? I mean, they sell them.
Dixon Furniture?
Yeah, I hear I'm advertised.
He'll tote the note. I know that.
He won't tote my note. Tote this, Artie. No, I would buy from Dixon. I think I bought and let him tote the note. Different time or two, but I wouldn't have to do that. Now I could tote my own note. Totes this. But here's the thing. This guy in town, his slogan is, I'll tote the note on furniture.
I bet every town has one. Artie.
The question about who thought of that, I know who thought of it, but we won't point that out to anybody else. PAXSUN PAX. Anyway. I don't know much about you. You've asked questions we don't know anything about. Somebody probably on the handyman list would know about that.
Yeah, you can bet someone else has got a gas dryer.
All right.
Here's a lady that saw something interesting she wanted to tell us about. She was at a local home show the other week and learned that a housing development office gives classes.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure it's called something different in each community. But this is the office where people go to get the low-interest and subsidized home building loans for those projects where several families get together and build homes for each family in the group. They're also connected somehow with Habitat for Humanity. Anyhow, twice a month they give classes. This month they're teaching toilets as one class.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember the second. I think I'll go just see how these classes go. And, you can learn about those home shows.
You can.
I think that's a good idea to go just see. Yeah, because commodes haven't basically changed. I mean, they've been operating the same ever since we got rid of those. Remember those tanks? Do you ever see one with a tank way up on the wall, high above? You know, it was like 7 feet up.
I've never seen them. I've heard of them, but I've never seen one. Actually, I've never seen one.
They had a pull chain that you pulled, but the tank was way up there. And it was uncovered, and it was up high, and they figured out that that wasn't necessary.
So
that
if
the water
was hanging around in there, and the tank sprung a leak, you would be.
I guess the thing was that they were trying to use gravity, water, but they figured out that you didn't really need that. So the tanks are now down where they ought to be. But since that change, there has been very little change in the way your commode flushes. I mean, it's that thing is pulled up. It rides above the water. It drops back down. You fill the tank up. The ball raises up till it closes a valve, and bingo, that's the way they work.
Uh-huh.
And it's an iffy-looking deal. Doesn't look like it ought to work, but it works every time, most times.
Works fine most of the time.
That hadn't changed that much, so once you learn how to do that, you don't. It's like pedaling a bicycle. You wouldn't have to learn it again, I guess.
I saw a commode the other day that had a little button you push on.
I've seen those.
That's strange. I believe that was the first one I've ever seen.
I've never looked at those, but I've seen those. Well, I don't know how they would work. You push the button, I guess it would spring something up because, you know, that thing has to rise above the water and then float back down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's in order for the water tank to empty into the bottom to flush the commode. It would have to be a spring mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, maybe somebody will tell us about the button commode. Well, I hear break music in the background.
Yeah, it's that time.
Which would mean that we were going to take a break and go to our buddy Dale Campbell and do a little. I don't know what he's going to cook today, but it'll be something good. It'll be fantastic.
All right.
Be on in just a minute. Dale Campbell. More of the Blind Handyman. Hang on. Be right back. The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. As far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Thank you so much, Mr. Announcer Person. We're glad to have you with us. And visiting with us today, we haven't seen. We're actually a week late, and I don't know how that happened, but our apologies to Dale Campbell, sir. How are you?
Fine, fine. How are you guys doing today?
Man, it's a beautiful day in the piney woods.
It is just as gorgeous here. With that little norther blow through, the humidity's kind of washed out.
Yeah.
Nice and cool.
Nice and cool. Well, are you ready to cook?
We're ready to cook.
What you got today, sir?
Well, we're going to be doing some baked redfish.
Mm.
All right.
And along with that, we're going to have some steamed broccoli with a little cheese sauce and also some garlic cheese muffins.
My heavens.
For dessert, we've found a recipe for an Easter bunny cake. Just sure to please everybody and be fun for the kids to help cook. And, man, real simple to do as well.
Easter bunny cake, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Easter bunny cake. Get him after he hides the eggs and leaves the presents. So.
That's I know several Easter jokes, none of which I can tell on the air. But,
family show, huh?
It is a family show, sir.
All right. So if you're all ready, let's get started.
We're ready. Go ahead. We got Tom Houston is here today, and Don Shaw and myself. And Don Patterson missed, but you got a good crew, so go ahead.
Fantastic.
We'll just listen. We're
glad to have you back, Mr. Tom.
Well, thank you, Dale. Good to be here.
Great, great. All right. For our, I guess we'll get started with the main course, the redfish.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two nice big redfish fillets. They're about 3/4 of a pound each. And we're going to lay them in a casserole that we've put in about 1/4 cup of lemon juice.
Okay.
We want to let them marinate in the lemon juice for just about 10 minutes. So as those are going, I'll be coming back and flipping them over. I've just dropped those in the nice big casserole dish.
Okay.
We've got our oven preheated at about 375.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our muffins need to bake at 400 degrees. The fish is supposed to bake at 350. So I'm just going to split the difference.
Yeah, split the difference.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Add a little more cooking time to the muffins and a little less time to the fish.
Won't hurt a
thing.
Fine.
Oh, yeah.
These are nice big redfish, so whoever caught them, boy,
man,
they sure had a good fight on their hands.
Yeah.
You've been to Rosie's Seafood Market, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
I knew it.
Well, as it turns out, that friend of mine, Kelly, who is also visually impaired that uses a guide dog, takes a class with one of the ladies that works at Rosie's. So
really?
We're kind of getting below retail cost now, so I'm like, all right.
What a deal.
Oh, man, what a deal. It
works out really nice.
Well, we can plug Rosie's if you want to. Where is Rosie's?
Sure, Rosie's Seafood right in Kema on the Seabrook side of Kema. They've got fresh seafood galore where there's no, it doesn't matter what type of fish, shrimp, anything like that you want.
Yeah.
In fact, when I came up there for Blind Weekend, y'all, the shrimp that we had was from Rosie's.
Came from Rosie's. Yeah, that's good.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, now in a small skillet, I've got a little bit of olive oil heating up here.
Uh-huh.
As you can maybe hear it sizzling, we're going to add some minced garlic, about 2 cloves of minced garlic. We want to let this saute for a little, about 5 minutes or so, maybe not even that long, on a medium-low heat.
Uh-huh.
And this will be put on top of the redfish along with 2 medium-grated carrots and also 4 large mushrooms that have been sliced.
Uh-huh.
We'll cover that with foil and bake it all up. We're also going to add to it about 1/4 cup of chicken broth. So we'll get this going here.
All right.
That sounds good.
Hey, I've got a question for y'all.
All right.
What do you think is better for you, a glass of Diet Coke or a glass of orange juice?
I don't know, but by the question, you'd think probably the Diet Coke. But which one?
You're right, Diet Coke.
That's amazing.
Orange juice has got so much sugar in it, it's almost all sugar.
Yeah.
It does have a little vitamin C and stuff in it, but, boy, I was like, wow. I was reading an article in a South Beach recipe book.
Yeah.
And it stated, you know, your typical breakfast, eggs and bacon, toast.
Yeah, orange juice.
And orange juice and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And the two worst things on there were the toast and the OJ.
Well, the toast, depending on what kind of bread it is, I suppose, right?
Yeah. I mean, just regular white bread. Even white bread, wheat bread, or enriched bread, and out of those three, enriched bread is the worst.
Really?
Because when they to enrich it, that means that a lot of the other nutrients have been taken out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, which is the
bread
best?
You can eat is whole grain.
It's whole grain bread, but the white bread is bad for you, I've heard.
Yeah, white bread is really bad.
I've heard that.
Full
yeah.
of carbohydrates and sugars and everything else.
And of course, it's the kind I love.
Yeah, don't we all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in fact, white bread is worse for you than a bowl of ice cream. It has more junk in it than a big old bowl of ice cream.
That's,
and in fact, it went on to say that in eating ice cream, it's better if you eat regular ice cream. I'm over here flipping the fillets back over.
All right. So,
it's better if you eat regular ice cream than low-fat ice cream.
Yeah, I can go for that.
Yeah, because low-fat's got tons and tons of sugar added to it.
Man.
When you take the fat out, they have to add something to it.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if anything is fit to eat anymore, you know? You wonder. Well, if anything is good for you. I guess that fish, surely that fish won't hurt you, will it?
Right.
All that mercury and stuff in it.
All that mercury in those fish will probably kill you, Dale.
Yeah.
When
your fish starts telling you what the temperature is outside, then you know too much mercury in that fish.
Yeah. Glowing in the dark and stuff.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so
this recipe comes to us, in fact, from Armando. It's a diabetic-friendly recipe, too, the fish is.
Okay.
All right.
So we've got the garlic sautéing, and it's about done here.
We're about to put those in the oven.
Go ahead and get the broccoli ready. I'm doing the broccoli in our vegetable and rice steamer.
Okay.
So I've already got the florets. It's about 4 cups of broccoli florets. And I'm just going to simply put them in the steamer here with water. And about 3/4 of a cup of water. Now, if you don't have a vegetable steamer, if you've got a microwave vegetable steamer, that'll work just as fine.
Sure.
If you don't have that, you can boil the broccoli. If you boil it, you probably want to boil it for, about 8 to 10 minutes until it's nice and tender.
Mm-hmm.
Just cook it however you can. Okay, putting the broccoli in. The water's added.
Are the fish fillets, are they not in the oven yet?
Not yet. They're still marinating in the lemon oil.
Lemon juice.
The lemon juice, sorry.
For that 10-minute marinade.
So they'll be about ready.
And Dale, I got a question at this point. If you should marinate them like for 30 or 40 minutes or an hour even, will it have any effect one way or the other on the texture or flavor?
In the lemon juice, yes.
Okay.
Because the lemon juice with the acidic value in it, with the acid that's in the lemon juice, it'll actually start to kind of cook the fish.
Oh.
It's kind of a Mexican delicacy is ceviche, which is fish that they actually cook, if you will, in lemon juice overnight. The fish is actually raw. They put it in, if you will, a big Ziploc bag with the lemon juice and just let it sit overnight and actually cooks the fish.
Yeah, I'd have to go the old-fashioned way.
I'd probably like it just fine.
Right? I'm with you guys. Hey, my assistant just walked in.
Who's that?
Right.
Who is your assistant? Who is your assistant?
Skyler.
Skyler's in from school.
Skyler's home from school.
Well, good.
Very good.
Kelsey came to greet her. Hello, sister. Okay. Now, I'm going to take the garlic here that we've sautéed.
All right.
And just kind of spread it out over the fish.
That'll be some good stuff, man.
Out of the skillet here. Whew. Using the old fingertips. A little bit warm.
Won't hurt you. Won't hurt you a bit.
I do like that seafood now.
Yes. And it is, I was going to do these on the grill, but I'm afraid a lot of our compadres up in the northern part of the country probably can't get their grill out yet.
Yeah.
Hey, Skyler's going to say hi, everybody.
All right. Skyler?
Hello.
How are you?
I said, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, that's good. We're glad to have you.
She'll be on a little bit later. She's going to help us out here, and when we get ready to do the icing for the cake, she's going to do that with us.
Okay.
All right.
And here we go. Now I'm going to add in to the fish about 1/4 cup of chicken broth.
All right.
Also going to sprinkle now over the top of this the carrots, 2 medium carrots that we grated.
Medium.
I'm not happy about that, the fact that he didn't get any.
On top of the fish, you're putting the carrots.
On top of the fish.
I don't know about that.
And then we're going to add to that the mushrooms. Now, the recipe calls for 4 large mushrooms sliced up.
Uh-huh.
I went ahead and bought just a pint of white sliced mushrooms. Because with Skyler here, we have to fight for the mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's some mushrooms. Just the other night, man, they sure were good.
They are great. How'd you do them?
Just sautéed them in some olive oil.
Right.
And, they were good.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that is excellent. That's the way to have them.
I think everything, the chicken broth kind of got me buffaloed with
this. Yeah, when I read this recipe, I was like, I don't know why the chicken broth is in there, but mine's not the question.
But you've done this before, and it's good.
Came out great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Really
all
tasted
right.
Awesome.
All right.
Now I'm going to add a little bit of ground pepper.
Whoa, a lot.
To the top of this.
Oh, yeah.
Ground pepper.
Keep grinding.
Keep grinding.
Some more. Keep going.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
A little is good. A whole lot.
Ooh, I love it. Ground pepper.
Yeah,
I
got to have that pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, all right, we are ready to pop these dudes in the oven.
All right.
Cover them with some foil.
About 10 minutes? How long?
About 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Is what it calls
all
for.
Right.
And when you do, you want to pull them out and check them.
Sure.
And when the fish starts to get flaky,
yeah,
you know, just kind of flake it with the fork. When it starts to get flaky, actually the recipe says when it turns from opaque to a translucent color,
yeah,
which isn't much help.
Not to us, it isn't.
You know, when you're cooking in the dark.
Yeah, cooking in the dark, that's true.
All right. Now, we've got that in. We've got our broccoli going. So let's do get our cheese sauce going, because that'll be nice and easy.
You bet.
Now, with the cheese sauce, y'all, is nothing more than a can of Campbell cheddar cheese soup.
Man, that's some good stuff, isn't it?
And half a cup of milk.
Oh, man, yeah.
So we're going to dump in. You know what Campbell's has started to do here, which is just awesome, is they have put these pool tabs on top of their cans.
Yep.
Get that dumped in.
I buy the New England clam chowder, the big cans that have the pop top on them. And, man,
right.
Those are good. That's one of my favorite meals to do every once in a while. That and some crackers for lunch.
Yeah.
Just can't beat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beat it.
I'm going to stir in the milk here.
Houston, you going to sleep?
No, we're going to put this on the back burner, put it on low.
Okay.
And periodically we'll just have to stir it as the meal goes progresses here.
All right.
The cheese sauce you just want to keep warm. It doesn't really need to cook since it's the soup.
Yeah.
With the milk. Now, you can add a little salt and pepper if you want to it. You can add a little garlic powder if you'd like. Whatever you want to do, that's fine.
So we're having basically broccoli and fish tonight.
Yeah.
That's
we've
the
got
meal.
Broccoli steaming.
Okay.
And we've got the fish in the oven baking. And then to go with this also, then we're going to do some cheese biscuits. Some cheese and garlic biscuits.
Okay.
All right.
And then
right.
Also our cake. Now, our cake we made from scratch.
All right.
I already baked it.
What a guy.
So it was already cooling.
Uh-huh.
And the cake recipe we'll put up on the Internet, and Skylar will read it a little bit later to y'all. Or
okay.
If you want, just do a box cake, whatever's
yeah.
easiest for you. And when you do the cake, you'll want to do it in 2 9-inch round cake pans.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
One of the cakes actually becomes the face. The other round cake you cut the ears out of, and also what's left over in the middle, once you cut the ears off of each side, if you will, or edge of the cake, becomes a bow tie.
Okay.
So when you assemble it, you put the bow tie at the bottom, then the round cake in the middle, and then his ears at the top.
Can you do this?
And then to decorate him, you can use jelly beans or
yeah.
gumdrops for his eyes. And
yeah.
What the recipe suggests is using jelly beans to decorate his tie, and then gumdrops for his eyes and his nose, and some real thin licorice for his whiskers.
Okay.
But that should be fun for the kids to help
Easter,
you make
Easter
cake,
dessert.
The pans, all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Deal.
So, moving right along here. Ooh, it's starting to smell good in here, y'all.
Fish is in the oven.
Garlic, little onion.
Yeah.
That's not my
okay. Room. So now for our cheese biscuits.
All right. Man, that does
be
good.
What we're going to be doing. Get this stuff out of the way.
Cheese biscuits are
we
great.
We want to add 2 cups of flour.
Yep.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of sugar.
You're going to make biscuits?
Yes, sir, from scratch.
Oh, all right.
Get out of town.
No messing around. You know, you don't need sites to cook dinner tonight.
Get out of town. No, you don't.
That's right.
All right.
Not when you're cooking in the dark.
Huh? Ingredients. We're going to need 3 teaspoons of baking powder.
Yep.
All right.
Half a teaspoon of salt.
Okay.
And then, now this is where your taste will come into play. If you like very, very garlicky stuff, you want to keep the vampires away, add as much as 1 or 1.5 tablespoons of garlic. I'm going to add about 1/2 tablespoon of garlic.
Yep.
in here. Now we've got that kind of, we're going to mix our, just kind of sift the dry ingredients together.
Got to have that sifter, huh?
Yeah, well, no, actually my sifter is my fingers.
Okay, well, that'll work too.
You just got your hands down there mixing it all together.
Yeah,
that's
Mama
hasn't
bought me. You know, Santa Claus didn't bring Dale a sifter this year, doggone it.
No sifter.
Maybe next
now,
year.
I put one egg in a bowl.
Okay.
And we want to whip him up a little bit, mix him up.
With a whisk or with a what?
Yeah, I'm using a whisk.
That old whisk, man. What a deal. Hey, those are handy now.
Oh, man. We got two or three of them. A whisk is a good thing to have. You got to have them these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whisk everything up.
It just took a long time.
We're going to add a cup of milk.
All right.
And a quarter cup
of pepper.
Of vegetable oil, or you can use butter. Remember, a quarter cup of butter is half a stick of butter.
Okay.
You mix these wet ingredients up here just a tad.
A quarter cup of butter is a half a stick?
Yeah.
So a stick
is a whole stick. Excuse me.
That's what I was going to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had all these fractions in my head. Hey,
yeah. Be careful. A cup of butter is a stick, isn't it?
It's two sticks.
A cup of butter is two sticks. So a stick of butter.
Yeah, a cup of butter is one stick.
Is what? Half cup of butter is a stick. Okay. All right.
Now, for any of our listeners going, blah, 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 so are we.
We don't know any more than you do.
Okay, now we're going to put in the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients. I think Skylar's ready with the mixer.
All right.
All right, Skylar.
Crank up that mixer.
All right, shall we...
mix these guys together.
We could. Why don't we, while we're doing this mixing stuff, why don't we take our little break? Dale, and be right back with more Cooking in the Dark. That suit you? Dale.
Now, if we get this all mixed up, y'all, we're going to also...
He can't hear me, can he?
Add Dale? In... We're going to fold the cheese in after Dale? We get it all mixed up here. And then to bake the...
He can't hear us. He got the mixer going.
Dale, can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Dale?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, we're going to take a little break while y'all do this, fold in the cheese and that kind of thing. Back in just a minute with more of Cooking in the Dark. Plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this blind handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
This This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, we're back with Mr. Dale Campbell and a little cooking in the dark today. Well,
cooking
Dale, how's it going?
Cooking.
Hey, how was y'all's cruise?
The cruise was wonderful. In fact, we did a this morning, we put together a blind like me and interviewed everybody that was on the cruise and talked met this lady who was a piano player. She's plays for ballet companies in, where did they live? Boston, Massachusetts. Rosie is her name. And met some really interesting, nice people on the cruise. It's a little expensive and something you couldn't afford to do every day. I think our next venture is going to be getting together with the people who do Blind Like Me and Handyman, maybe at a hotel close to the big airport down in Houston, so you won't have far to go.
That would be awesome.
I think we're going to try that.
Awesome. Put it together, let me know, and we'll put it on the Cooking in the Dark list also.
That would be good. Speaking of lists, if you don't mind, let me. We've gotten a lot of cross people from the two lists who are on both lists, Cooking in the Dark, and we also have a list called Blind Like Me. That is blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
We have Blind Handyman, which is blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. We'd like to have you on either list. We have lots of people who are on all three. And
we sure do.
We do have a trifecta. On the Cooking in the Dark list, everything kind of got out of hand, and we were talking about computer issues and this all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, send them to the Blind Like Me list.
There were a lot of people to the Blind Like Me list and the Blind Handyman list. And
yeah, because
the lists are all going crazy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing well.
And we took a cue from you, and we've got Boop helping us to moderate on our
Boop, she helped us out immensely. In fact, I paid her twice what I get paid to moderate the list.
Did you now?
Well, salary girl.
That's about what we're doing.
All right, we're going to be, we've got our dough all mixed up. We mixed in about 3/4 cup of cheese into our biscuit dough.
Uh-huh.
And Skylar, while we were on break, put muffin papers, cupcake papers, whatever you want to call them, into the muffin tin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we're going to use 2 spoons to fill up. You want to fill the muffin tins up about 2/3 of the way full.
Because they'll rise or they're what?
Rise a little. With all that baking powder in there.
Hmm. Okay. That'll work.
Right. So we're doing those now? Okay. Is that what you're doing right now, filling those?
Yeah, we're going to let Skylar do that.
All right.
He's doing that.
Yeah, that's a sighted-friendly thing. I mean, you could do it.
Using like a measuring cup.
Yeah.
Like a quarter cup measuring or a measuring cup or a bigger spoon or something like that. But it's kind of messy. And then with this biscuit dough, it's so sticky.
Yeah, uh-huh. I bet it is.
Okay.
Skylar's like, tell me about it.
Oh, really?
She really knows that. But, Boop did a great job monitoring the list for us while we were out of town. And, you know, you got to have help like that because right now with Blind Mice Mart going crazy and I'm trying to get new merchandise uploaded and get some stuff changed on it,
mm-hmm.
and as well as the scholarship program that we're got going on, it's... Man, boy, there's just not enough time in the day.
Yeah,
all these projects, huh?
Yeah, all these little projects that don't seem like they're going to take very much away from you.
And end up taking...
Before you know it, Candace is home, it's time to cook dinner, and, CSI or something like that's on TV.
Well, that's good. It keeps you busy, and that's what you need to be.
Out of trouble.
Keep your mind from...
I'm going to get ready to make the icing for the... The bunny rabbit cake.
The bunny rabbit cake. I can hardly wait.
All right.
I've lost my beaters. Where they are.
For your mixer?
Got them back. Give me my beaters back for the old mixer.
All right.
Now, this the icing we're going to make is so easy, y'all. It is 1 stick of butter.
All right.
Which is how much? A half a cup?
No, it's 2 cups. Yeah, it's a half a cup. Half a cup, okay. 1 stick is a half a cup.
It's a half cup, I think.
God, are we confused?
I hope.
1 stick is a half a cup of butter.
I hope it is.
Let's see.
Half a cup of butter.
All right, slap it on me.
Whoop. Throw in a stick of butter.
Lay it on me.
Here we go. Yeah, it's a stick of butter.
Yeah, what?
I thought I had a lane somewhere and it wasn't, you know? I hate it when that happens. At least it's butter, y'all.
At least it's butter.
We're going to dump this in, and the recipe calls for 7 cups of confectioner's sugar.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
Boy, seems like an awful lot to me, so we're going to start with 6.
Yeah.
Man.
But what you want to do is start with about 2 cups of confectioner's sugar and cream it with your mixer with this half a stick of butter. And then as it creams, you'll want to keep adding more confectioner's sugar to it.
Uh-huh.
So it reaches a nice creamy consistency.
Do you think he's sitting out on the patio faking these?
Yeah, that's good. We'll add in a little more sugar. And basically, this is just one of them gigs where you just keep on adding the...
Yeah, keep adding the sugar.
Add a little sugar, and...
Until the consistency is right.
We're going to add 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract.
Okay.
And about a half a cup of milk. And the milk, you can add a little more, a little less, just depending on how thick or thin you want your icing to be.
Okay. Yeah, what a deal. Isn't that Mixmaster Tom?
Yep.
What a deal.
That's a sound effect, Alvin.
You think?
It's not.
You think so?
Only kidding.
Sound effects.
No,
he's not. Hey, I'm missing out on the convo, huh?
Well, you know, we're debating. If I was doing this cooking show, I'd be out on the patio with some sound effects albums.
Right.
You're actually cooking. You're not faking it. I would be. You're actually, Dale is actually cooking, folks.
Yeah, we're actually in here cooking.
Isn't
that
actually
deal?
Cooking. And it is nice doing the show in the late afternoon because it allows me to take the evening off, so to speak.
Yeah, because you'll have supper ready when she gets home.
Yeah, supper will be ready.
Yeah, man. You and Skylar will go ahead and eat when that fish is hot, then she can warm hers up.
Yeah, be home and eat when she gets home.
Well, it won't be long. She'll be home all the time.
The fish is coming out. Looking good.
I bet you.
It's kind of needs a few more minutes in there, but we're doing all right on the fish.
You can smell it cooking by now, huh?
Yeah, Skylar's laughing at me. Hey, the fish is looking good.
Yeah.
We went to up to Pacifica Radio up there in Houston, KPFT, yesterday. And
did you now?
Did a little show called Making Lemonade. It's a disability show, but they got a hold of the email with stuff that happened to Kelsey and I, and were pretty adamant about getting us on the show to discuss it, and we had a ADA attorney on there as well. And
that's good.
It was pretty interesting.
If you would have sent me an email, I would have listened to that. You know, their station is broadcasted on the internet.
Yeah, it is. You can. It's streamed on the internet.
It sure is.
And, it is great. We listen a lot down here. Of course, we can pick it up on the 90.1, but on the internet as well. On Friday nights, they have the prison show.
They do.
Which is a lot of fun.
The old prison.
It is. Pacifica is, you hear news on Pacifica Radio that you don't hear anywhere else. You hear news that the mainstream media doesn't cover because Pacifica is not supported by sponsors. They're listener supported, and so you hear a lot of stuff there that you don't, like Amy Goodman in the morning at 9 o'clock. A lot of stuff there you just don't hear on the mainstream.
Yeah, it is. I love the programming on Sundays. My favorite is to kick back and just listen to the blues.
Definitely has a liberal bent, and so, of course, I would like it, wouldn't I?
Yeah, in fact, we were in there when the Blues Hound, he does the show from 2 to 4, he was in there as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be good.
In the main studio, we were in a back little studio doing the recording.
And they do a Cajun show on Saturday morning, so Pacifica, if you're
sure
in Houston.
Do.
There's Pacifica, I think, in Los Angeles and in Houston.
I think so.
Yeah, they were telling us that they have an affiliate in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
As well. I
used to have them bookmarked on the internet for their site, but I lost it when I changed computers. I've lost the bookmark for them now, so I need to get it back.
Yeah, their website is kpft.org.
Okay.
KPFT.
Real simple, real easy, and then it's real easy to get to their link to listen to their, you know, to their broadcast as well. And,
well, I'll go and find
them. They have BBC on there, and you know, they have
a lot of
elaborate programming, but they were telling us that we simply recorded yesterday, and they're going to go back in and edit for us, but they are...
So when will it be broadcast?
Wednesday evening when the program will be on, and they're not exactly sure The show they do here is on once a month, and they do a show in Berkeley that airs 1 week of the month, and then there's a gal down in Costa Rica that does the picks up the rest of the shows.
Well, email me
or let me know when it's going to be on when you find out.
Yeah, I'll do that.
We'll listen to it.
As far as that goes, we've got the police investigated and found reason to bring a subpoena and bring it to court. So we're waiting to get our subpoena and find out when the court date is so we can pursue it on the state level. And then we're going to go ahead and bounce it on up to the federal level as well and file a complaint with the Justice Department and then pursue it civilly and just see what kind of education we can give these people.
Well, they'll declare bankruptcy, you know.
All right. Ooh, our icing is awesome. We added to the sugar and the butter. Good icing, y'all.
I imagine.
I bet it is.
Tyler's like, hey, get your fingers out of it, man.
Kind of tell you to quit that, huh?
Yeah, I had to see it, y'all.
Right.
We added to it a half a cup of milk and 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract.
Vanilla.
And to add the vanilla extract, I poured a little vanilla into a cup and used my syringe, my 1 teaspoon syringe, to add a little bit to it. So now I'm going to put Skyler to work icing the rabbit.
Right. Okay.
And then after we get done with icing the rabbit, you can sprinkle some coconut on top of it.
Because icing the rabbit would definitely not be a blind-friendly job.
Icing the rabbit.
What's that?
It would not be a blind-friendly job, would it?
No,
it would be something. Be something you would need some.
Job. I made a cake for Candace's grandfather on his 84th birthday. He was here, and I iced part of it. But then Skyler came to my rescue and helped me finish it up. I was icing the counters and icing the cake and icing me. And
you would be. It'd be everywhere, wouldn't it?
It was a mess, I tell you.
But on the other hand, children love to mess around with that icing.
Sure they do.
They love it.
Yeah, they do. And one thing when you make this cake, y'all, when I took my cake pans and laid it over the side of the cake about to where I made the ears, if you will, overlapped it on the side of the cake about 2.5 inches.
Uh-huh.
So that it kind of made, then I cut with a knife, used the cake pan as a guide, cut around the edge of the cake pan to cut out, if you want to call it an ellipse,
ears.
Or a big oval, I guess, for one ear.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then I took that ear that I cut and laid it on top of the cake on the other side and used it as a guide to cut out another ear so they'd be symmetrical.
Yeah.
And then what was left in the middle, there was about 2 inches of cake left in the middle there. And I cut off about 2 inches off each end of it for the bow tie.
Okay, yeah.
So there it is. And that's one thing you can do if you want, you can ice the whole cake. Well, ice his face, if you will, and the ears. And then add a little colored food coloring, if you'd like, to the remaining icing. And do his bow tie in a different color.
Could do that.
Or use the jelly bean trick or nothing at all. Just have at it. And then if you want to sprinkle coconut over it to make him a hairy bunny, you can do that. Or if you want to
be creative,
save chocolate on it to make him a brown bunny, we can do that.
Hairy
let your
bunny.
Imagination run away with you, but let your kids help and let them have fun.
Oh, yeah. Lots of choices there to be made.
Yeah.
Children would love
it. I'm going to take the fish out, y'all.
Yeah, because we're within about 3 or 4 minutes of closing time here. If you want to get them out and kind of give us a review of what we've done today, if you don't want to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Today we did a baked redfish, compliments of Armando up in Canada. And it's actually a diabetic-friendly recipe, which is real nice.
All right.
We also did steamed broccoli with a cheese sauce. And the cheese sauce was so simple, y'all. It's just a can of Campbell's soup and a little bit of milk.
I like that one.
Kind of let it, if you want, we added a half a cup of milk. If you want your cheese sauce thinner, add more milk. If you want it thicker, add less milk.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. I mean, if you want to add anything to it, or if you want to change, instead of getting cheddar cheese soup, you can get the broccoli cheese soup. Or if you have it in your area, the 3-cheese soup is really great. But it's nice, quick, and easy to do. You don't have to take milk and boil it and add grated cheese to it. And
that's right.
Make it like that.
That cheddar cheese, though, is awesome, man.
Oh, it's great soup. It is great soup.
Really?
You want to put a little fire in it, get the nacho cheese soup.
Hey, it even makes a good dip.
Yeah, that is excellent dip, isn't it? I like it that way, too. And we also made some garlic cheese biscuits, and I used just a basic plain recipe for that and then added some garlic and cheese to it. And we're going to bake those at 400 degrees for about 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
And that's about it.
Aren't you going to do those?
With Easter coming up, though, let's have a little Easter egg tip, y'all.
All right.
When you want to boil your eggs, boil them, you know, put them in a pot, cover them with water, boil them, you know, or actually you need to add them to boiling water. That works out the best. Sometimes you might need to use a ladle to do that or somebody sighted to help you drop them in there. But drop them in, let them boil for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Covered. Or, I'm sorry, uncovered, excuse me. And then after the 10 minutes is up, cover them and let them sit for about 10 to 15 minutes. And they'll be ready to go, nice and hard boiled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jerry and Betty, I believe it is, from the cooking list, sent us a little tip on peeling the eggs. And that's to crack, you know, smack it on each end, and then roll it on the counter or roll it on the table. So you basically crush the, break the shell up all the way around.
I've heard that before.
And they'll peel like butter.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, they peel really easy.
So crack each end and roll it on the counter and break up the shell, and it'll peel off a whole lot easier.
It peels a whole lot easier than anything else.
I'll need to try that.
Yeah, do that. Do that. It worked out. I was like, okay, I got to try this. Kind of like when Henry posted the dishwasher fish. Like, I've got to try that.
What, now, what was that? I missed it.
Dishwasher fish was, I went and got a salmon fillet, about a pound and a half salmon fillet, put it on foil, seasoned it, put butter, lemon, garlic, some rosemary, a little thyme on it, wrapped it up real nice and tight so it was pretty much sealed inside that aluminum foil.
Put it in the dishwasher.
Laid it in the top tray of the dishwasher, ran the dishwasher on the pots and pans cycle with the thyme dry, you know, with the heated dry on it, and it came out perfect.
Well, one of these days,
I don't like fish without, you know, a crust or a batter on it.
One of these days, we'll discuss cooking a roast on your car block, on the engine block of your car, which I have done. It can be done. It works. Listen, cooking in the dark is. Give us the address for your cooking in the dark list that you have.
Cooking in the dark is cooking in the dark, all lowercase, all scrunched together, no spaces, at acbradio.org.
Cooking in the dark.
To it, just. Type in cooking in the dark dash subscribe at acbradio.org or send me an email either at info@blindmicemart.com or at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com.
Cooking in the
and,
dark.
You can, well, I'll put you on there if you can't get subscribed to it.
All right.
We have all the recipes from today's show will be on Blind Mice Mart under the Cooking in the Dark link.
Okay.
And also, while you're there, if you guys, if anybody knows of anybody that needs a scholarship, have them check on the Mousehole Scholarships link. We have $800 this year up for grabs. It's just a short essay you'll need to write, and we've got judges around the country waiting to read and judge the essays.
Yes, good deal. All right, Dale. Well, y'all enjoy the redfish, and we'll see you in a week or two on Cooking in the Dark, sir.
All right.
This will be on this Friday.
Make dinner tonight. Cooking in the dark.
Right.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, sir. And we'll see you next week on our little show here. Don't forget blindlikeme@yahoogroups.com, blindhandyman@yahoo.com. We'll see you next week. I see you said the blind man. You picked up his hammer and saw. Bye bye.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.